There's a prayer that I came across today on one of my prayer diaries, and it's very much the sort of thing that CSW is battling against. And it's for the week, it's called Overcoming Evil. So this prayer for you and your organisation. Father, we rejoice that through Christ's cross and empty grave, our sin was taken away. Death was cancelled and evil overcome. We long for this good news to spread throughout the world, transferring millions more people from the domain of darkness into the eternal kingdom of your beloved Son. May we and CSW especially be your faithful messengers through your mercy, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for having me again. And I'm sorry to disappoint. I don't think it's going to be a little bit more sleek than last year. I continue being very clumsy and confused and nervous about everything around me. So I'm going to try my best. And Guy, I'm very sorry that my daughter ruined all your practice with your worship team. But we will work on her rhythm. Hopefully next time if I come back, she'll be better. Yes. Well, thank you so much for having me again. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm hoping to give you some updates what happened in a year and share a little bit of scripture with you. But before we carry on, I want to show a video with you of Helen. She's one of our trustees at CSW, a wonderful woman who was kept in a container for over 12 months. You can find her full interview on YouTube if you'd like, but there is a short video for her here. I hope you enjoy.
The bus stopped, taxi stopped just around 8 o'clock. The whole area is just quiet, so only you can hear my voice. So there are 600, 700 around people gathered. So when I start telling about the gospel, people, they start crying. Even Muslims continue. Nobody. Throw stone, just keep silent, crying. But the government, they arrest me. They say, we must put her far from the city so she can't pray, she can't do anything. There is around 23 metal shipping containers. When we came closer to the container, I saw young people, they started killing us. The girl, he came and he opened one container, he pushed us in. The container is not clean, it has small insects. So he starts crunch your body. We are asking, where is the light? So he said, no, where is the light? In the night, it's extremely cold. Just I say, the only we can do now, we sing.
We have no toilet, we have no nothing. We sleep on the floor, and I'm hungry to tell people about the gospel. The word of God, he have power. So I say, God, help me, give me word. So all the time I'm writing 4-5 letters every day for prisoners. I have been for 2 years now. They ask me, Helen, where is the Bible? So I told them, I have no Bible. So how you remember this? You have been for 2 years, but you write like this. So how you remember this? So I told them, it's in my mind. In your mind? So they start beating me a lot in my head, and long beating. So after a word, he says, just go to the container, he kicked me. I stay the whole night, it's bloody pain. Early in the morning, they came again. But now we must stop teaching guards. So I told him, No, if somebody came around my container, I'm preaching. I can't stop preaching. So he started taking this stick. When he beat you with this stick, you feel the whole your body fire. They know where is the nerves. So my body starts shaking by itself. Helen, you must stop preaching garbs. So just I kept silent, his eyes red, and yeah, he beat me countless. Now it's the last one because I have no energy, I know. So just I start preparing myself to die. So at last he's totally exhausted. So just I look at him, yeah, you did your job. Also, I'm doing my job. So they took me to other container, the worst container. It's dark, I can't see anything. Just I'm standing and start singing. Just doesn't matter. God gave me a new song. So just I'm singing the whole night. All the prisoners can hear. Thank you for everything, God. The bad toilet, cold, hot, everything. Because I love to worship him. He's my father. After the last torture, I stay for 8 months, but my situation, just I'm very sick. They don't have enough medicine. They think I'm dying. They don't want you to die inside the prison. They don't want to take this kind of responsibility, so they send me home, but always security around me. I ask God, please, I need to leave this country. I stay for 10 months treatment. Within 1 month, the Danish government accepted me. I'm start sing and write my own song.
Thirty percent of the world's country, which is 59 nations, suffer high or very high religious government restrictions. 70% of the world's country, which is 139 nations, suffers low or moderate religious government restrictions. So in CSW, I will just recap a little bit what we do. We work with individuals who are in prisons, sometimes death rows, and community who suffers horrendous harassment and treatment and imprisonment because of their religion and their faith. We are a Christian organization. We only believe in Jesus. We only believe he's the only true way, the way, the truth, and the life. But we do help other religious minorities who also suffer persecution. In India, we see Muslims and Christians suffering persecution alike. And when you hear their stories, there's no way you don't feel compassion for them. For God gave us free will. We have a story of an atheist that he was in prison because of his religion and their faith. And when CSW went to visit him, he said, "You must have misunderstood something here. I'm not Christian. I'm an atheist." And our team had the opportunity to say to him, "We know we are Christians, you are not. We might disagree with that, but nevertheless, my God gave you free will and my God loves you. We don't agree with what they are doing with you." Now, we don't know if he received Jesus or not, but what we know is he met Jesus that day when we went to see him in prison. So it's a way to evangelize to people. It's a way to show who our God is, that our God gave free will. We might not disagree theologically, but nevertheless, we can show compassion and solidarity. So I'm going to share some of the blessings and victories we were able to witness last year in 2025. So in June, Father Carlos was abducted by an unknown illegal armed group. The 30-year-old Roman Catholic priest was traveling to an appointment when he disappeared. Religious leaders can be targeted of harassment, abduction, and imprisonment because of their influence and their unwavering defense of victims of injustice. We give God thanks that Father Carlos was released back to his home last July in good health. CSW, we were one of the voices calling persistently for an investigation into his disappearance, as were church authorities and other human rights advocates. Forcible disappearance is used as a tactic weapon by not just governments, but also armed groups. It's a way not just of targeting one person, but also a community, their extended family and loved ones. If people are disappearing, it puts everyone in that community on alert that they could also be disappeared. Then it also knocks onto the community and it makes them afraid that they could be the next person to disappear. This tactic is common in places such as several countries in South America, Malaysia, China, and of course, North Korea. The next one is Pastor Lorenzo. He was violently arrested for taking part in a peaceful protest across Cuba in 2021. Later that year, he was convicted on charges of disrespect, assault, and criminal incitement and public disorder. And he was sentenced to 7 years in prison. In February 2024, the UN Working Group on Arbitrary Detention ruled that his imprisonment violated 9 articles of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Pastor Lorenzo was finally released in January last year as a part of a mass amnesty following the United States' decision to remove Cuba from its list of state sponsors of terrorism. His release was part of an agreement negotiated by President Joe Biden, the Vatican, and the Cuban government. So the way we work sometimes is putting pressures in country, but also using our influence with the United Nations, the UN, US Congress, and UK Parliament in bringing governments together to then put pressure into Cuba. And it's a blessing that we were able to join these 3 powerful influences to help Pastor Lorenzo. The next one, Susanna, she's been struggling for years now with her husband's disappearance. A high court ruling has found in favor of Susanna Cole in her legal case against the state concerning the disappearance of her husband, Pastor Raymond Cole, who was taken 9 years ago. The court concluded that the abduction involved at least one member of the police force, stating that official authority had been abused and exercised in an unlawful and oppressive manner. As part of the judgment, the Malaysian government has been directed to compensate the family with 10,000 rigit money, approximately $2,400 for each day since Pastor Cole was taken, continuing until his whereabouts are known. This compensation has now exceeded $7.4 million. In addition, the judge instructed law enforcement to resume investigations into the case and to submit regular progress updates to the Attorney General's office every 2 months. We spoke with Susanna Cole, and she says that it doesn't bring her husband back, but nevertheless, it is a miracle that the Malaysian government not only took ownership of what they did, but now is having to pay an enormous penalty to her. And now they really need to tell us, hopefully soon, and Suzanne, where her husband is. It has happened in the past that even after decades, prison doors were open, and we did discover people were still alive. So we will continue speaking up for Pastor Cole, and we continue speaking for people that are still disappeared, and we haven't heard about it. Carmen and Lesbian, last year when I came here, the campaign that I brought was on their behalf. You signed those campaign cards and you were able to be part of speaking up for them when they were also taken in Nicaragua from their homes with men wearing ski masks, weapons, taken into the police cars and the families, they haven't heard from them. But because of the advocacy work, thank God, last year they were brought back home. They are in house arrest at the moment, so we continue speaking on their behalf. The family are very afraid. They are very scared of the government. We haven't been able to speak with them after the prison, but we know they are home. And because of their safety, we are keeping our distance a little bit from them, but not from their case. We continue speaking up because we want them to be free and released once and for all. And recently in Nicaragua, the government forbid every tourist to bring Bibles into the country. After I heard that, I realized that whenever I go abroad now, I would take a Bible with me if I am allowed in the country, unless God asks me to, unless he does that. But if the country allows, do the same. If you are allowed to bring a Bible into the country, leave one behind. You just never know who will find. You just never know what's going to happen in the country next day. So I would encourage you to do that. Pastor Rudy, just the same, very similar to Carmen and Lesbia. Thank God he was also brought home last year. He's also in house arrest at the moment. So we are also working on their case to release them once and for all. So we read the verse in Micah chapter 6. Micah was a prophet in Judah during the 8th century BC. This was a major period of political instability, social inequality, and spiritual decline. The Bible is so relevant. Something that happens in 8 BC, it's still so relevant to where we are now. At that time, God's nation had been divided. The northern kingdom of Israel would fall to Assyria, and Judah, the south area, faced the same threats and internal corruption. Wealthy Elites oppressed the poor. The tribes continued their normal religious rituals, but justice and compassion were neglected, which once again, very similar to what is happening today. Micah speaks primarily to Judah in this verse, though he also addressed Israel, confronting corruption leaders, dishonest merchants, exploitative landowners, and religious hypocrisy. Micah 6 is structured as a covenant lawsuit, a common prophetic form where God is the accuser, and Israel and Judah is the defendant. And creation itself is called as a witness. God reminds the people of his faithfulness and saving acts, especially in Exodus and his protection in the past, before addressing their spiritual failure. And in verse 6 to 7, the people respond defensively. They say, "With what shall I come before the Lord?" They list increasingly extreme religious offerings, burnt offerings, thousands of rams, rivers of oil, even their firstborn child. This reflects desperation and their misunderstanding. They assume God can be appeased through ritual excess rather than moral obedience. Importantly, child sacrifice was explicitly forbidden in Israel, but this verse shows us how distorted their thinking had become under surrounding pagan influences. In Micah 6, verse 8, cuts through ritualism with clarity. He says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." This verse is a challenging message for us today, just as it was to the people of Israel and Judah. And also in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16, we read about being the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and we are Jesus' hands and feet. And when we ask Jesus, we want to see your kingdom on earth. Jesus, bring justice, bring change. Jesus, feed the poor, help the helpless. When we ask those things, Jesus is looking to his church, to his temple, the one he dwells in. He's speaking to us and saying, yes, I want to do it through you. You rise up. I want to bring my kingdom come through you. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You go and do it. I've given you authority. I've given you my spirit. I've given you my power. I'm asking you. I want you to work with me. Let's do it together. And he will do it. It's all about us being sensitive to listen to his voice. One thing I do in my life before I leave my house is, Lord, who am I going to meet? Help me to serve people. Help me to say a word of encouragement. Who can I be Jesus to today? And sometimes just walking on the high street and simply opening the door to someone and saying, have a good day. I mean, I know it sounds cliche, but why can't we be light of the world? Why can't we be salt of the earth? We are set apart. We are different. And that's how it's supposed to be. We are set apart. We are salt of the earth. We don't conform, but we serve. Now, some of the things very quickly that we are working this year. Nigeria is a country we've been working for decades in CSW. And we are grateful to hear that media now is picking up the serious things that is happening now in there. Nigeria's federal constitution prohibits discrimination on the basis of religion and guarantees freedom of thought, conscience, religion, or belief to all citizens, including the right to change religion or belief. After 2001, 12 states adopted the Shari criminal laws, which in practice made Islam the official religion in those states, violating the constitution. Blasphemy is criminalized under a colonial era law that allows up to 2 years in prison and doesn't meet national or international standard. Under the Shari law, blasphemy can be even punished by death. These laws have led to serious human rights abuses, often without accountability. In the north, freedom of religion and belief has been violated for many years. The lack of punishment for religious violence has allowed extremist groups that oppose religion's freedom to emerge. I'm not sure if you saw in the news, but the government in Nigeria was trying to give us the narrative of, no, Christians are not being persecuted in Nigeria. They are fine, they are safe. The reason why is because if they say, yeah, it is true, it's happening, it means they are abiding by these terrorists rather than following the law of their own country. But thank God they are, because of the amount of evidence, because of the pressure, they are now starting to say, yes, we need to change things. So please continue praying for the country of Nigeria. It's really horrendous. It's really dangerous to be Christian. When we work with countries that suffer persecution for their belief, religious leaders and Christians, or just because you have a faith, they are considered the bottom of the pile of humanity. These are treated worse than real criminals. In India, homes belonging to four Christian families were destroyed in January this year as part of an ongoing campaign of threats and violence against the local Christian communities. Tensions arose when villagers confronted the four families and two others, around 25 people, and demanded that they renounce their Christian faith. Despite receiving death threats, the families refused to comply. The following day, a mob of about 20 villagers attacked the families, again demanding that victims renounce their faith and proceeding to demolish the house of four families when they once again refused to comply. The victims attempted to make a complaint at the police station. However, instead of providing support, the police officers sided with the villagers. The officer in charge threatened the Christian families, questioning their decision to embrace Christianity as members of a tribal community and warning them, warning that their unique identity cards and racial supplies would be cancelled. This further empowered the villagers, who continued to issue death threats towards the family. The police summoned the local pastor for questioning about his work. During the questioning, officers declared that his ministry was superstition and prohibited him from visiting families in the village. Families remained in their demolished homes without proper shelter, whilst continued to face threats to their safety. Such incidents are common in India, where Christians and Muslims are denied education, the right to bury their loved ones. They have their weddings interrupted, and they beat their pastors and the groom in front of all the guests. And they often suffer attacks in their own homes. I mentioned to you when I came last year, in fact, when I was here, it was a week after I had just come back from India. And I don't think I mentioned this to you, but when we arrived in the country, we suffered a lot of questioning. One of my friends was questioned for 8 hours because they were... It's illegal to go and preach the gospel in India, and it's illegal for a lot of communities to convert to Christianity. Most of the states, they do have conversion law, and where we were going, they did have the conversion law. So, yes, we were going there to do something illegal, but I was telling them I was there to visit my friend, who happens to be a pastor. After we went to Pastor Ebenezer's house without one of our friends, because he had to come back to England. They deported him. Pastor Ebenezer said, "I definitely expect the government to be here tomorrow. The police would definitely be in my house to check on us, and we might not be able to do what we were planning to do." Next day came, we had breakfast, and we didn't hear anything. So we went to the Bible college to visit the students. And we managed to do everything we needed to do on day one. So we carried on. And praise God, we managed to do all the work we planned to do. We visited children. We visited the leprosy colony. We preached to the villagers. We did an amazing job. As we were back in the airport to go home, as we handed our passports, the lady went pale as she looked at our passports. She was so nervous, and we were kicking each other under the cashier, thinking, we are in trouble again. But to our shock, she couldn't explain how we were in the country, because according to the system, we never made in the country. They deported all of us. It was a miracle. God really ghosted us. So one thing I can promise you, church, when you follow God's voice, when you do what he called you to do, you will see miracles. But I can't promise you'll be safe. But I can promise you, you will see the hand of God, even in the minor things of when you say yes to his calling, yes to obeying him. So I'm very grateful. I have several testimonies about India. I love it. It was a beautiful experience. Right now, we are doing a campaign on Sudan. Sudan is facing one of the world's worst humanitarian emergencies. 30-plus million people are in need of urgent aid. 15 million and plus children are being affected. And the conflict between RSF and Sudanese armed forces has spiraled into one of the world's worst crises. Evidence shows that United Arab Emirates is providing military and financial support to the RSF, a militia accused of committing genocide. Reports link Emirati weapons, passports, and even personnel to RSF operations. Manchester City owner Sheikh Mansour, UAE's deputy prime minister, has close ties to RSF leader. Despite his influence, he has not acted to stop UAE involvement. In the north of Sudan, predominantly African Christian communities have been discriminated against by the SAF. Places of worship and particularly churches have also been targeted. We as CSW, we are putting pressure on Sheikh Mansour and the Premier League to uphold human rights principles and demand the UAE to end support for RSF. We did a protest outside Manchester Stadium 2 weeks ago, and we are doing another one, hopefully in London soon. So we ask you, if you are willing, to come and see me, and you can sign one of the petition cards, or you can do on your phone as well. And it really works. Our voices do carry weight. And we ask you to join us in this movement in signing this petition for Sudan. So how can you be part of what we are doing? We beg your church to pray with us. The way I see you, church, is that passage in Exodus 17 when God asks Moses to fight, to gather the Israelites to fight. And in order for the Israelites to continue winning the battle, they had to carry on their hands up. Moses had to keep his hands up. And when Moses got tired, Aaron and Hur came alongside him and held his arms up so they could continue fighting and winning. The way I see you, church, is you are Aaron and you are Hur holding CSW arms so we can continue fighting this fight. So you are part of this. You are part of what we are doing. We do ask the most precious thing one can give to CSW, as well as your campaigning, is your prayers. Please pray for us. I brought some prayer diaries as well. You can come and get one from me. And we just ask you to pray. And in pray, trust me, you are part of the team. You are part of what we are doing. The next thing, if you feel led by the Holy Spirit, we ask you to give. And your church has been so generous. Thank you so much to your leadership for your kindness, for your generosity. We can only thank you. I really came here to thank you for your generosity. We were very humbled by it. And finally, you can campaign. You can write a letter to your MP. You can sign up on our petitions. You can write a letter to someone who is perhaps in prison or to their loved ones. We can give you their addresses as well. And please share about the work of CSW. Tell people about it. Tell especially people who love politics. They would love our work because we are part of challenging world leaders. And they can be part of it. And yeah, so this is the campaign we are working now. But thank you. Thank you so much, Warmer Baptist. I just want to finish by praying for you now. Father God, we love you, Jesus. You are our God. And you called us to be your hands and feet. You call us salt of the earth. You call us light of the world. Lord Jesus, we ask that in Jesus' name you equip us and you empower us. And Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. And we want to hear your voice. We want to obey your commandments. And we want to obey your call. Jesus, we love you. And I pray a special blessing for Warmer Baptist Church. Whatever they are going through in the background when it comes to bureaucratic paperwork, Jesus, Warmer Baptist is your church. You are the head of this house. We ask that you intervene on their behalf in Jesus' name. That you give wisdom to the leaders, that you give discernment and direction, and you bless them with the right people to support them. We ask whoever is making their life difficult, Lord, whatever the enemy is using to kill, steal, and destroy, Lord, right now you are turning it for good, and right now you are performing a miracle that this church, Lord, Warmer Baptist, they will look back and know you did it for them. You bless them. We give you glory. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you very much.